How about now? Hey, thanks, Ruth, for leading that. So for the message today, I'm going to be talking to the VBS kids. We're going to keep talking about Joseph. We talked about the life of Joseph at VBS, and I'm going to talk about a real important episode in his life. The scripture is Genesis chapter 45, the first part of that. So turn there in your Bibles if you haven't already, Genesis 45. I'll be talking to the VBS kids, but I pray that as the adults over here, God will speak to your hearts too. So let's go to the Lord and ask for his help as we look at his word together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and that it's true, and thank you that we can trust in what you've said to us. Thank you that you have spoken to us, and I pray that we would hear what you've said and believe it and live in the light of it. We pray that you would do your work in our hearts to change us, to make us more like your son, Jesus. We just want to give you permission to convict us where we need that, to encourage us where we need that, to do your work. And we ask for your help right now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, kids, have you ever been really, really mad at somebody? You don't have to share out loud what happened, but I just want you to think about a time that you were really mad at somebody, sometime that somebody did you wrong. Has anybody ever done you wrong? Maybe it was a time where you were at school and there were some friends at school who were talking bad about you. Has that ever happened? That friends were talking bad at you, bad about you, and you were a little bit upset and mad at them? Or here's another example of, I'm trying to think of tough times when you might have been mad at somebody. Have you ever gotten in trouble when you weren't the one that did the bad thing, where the teacher got you in trouble or the parent, heaven forbid, got you in trouble when it was somebody else's fault and you were a little upset about that? Has that ever happened? Or here's another scenario. Maybe you spent a lot of time building this exquisite construction out of the Lego, built this cool Lego situation, and then your little brother or little sister comes in and knocks the thing over right before it's finished. That's so awful. I hate that. And you're so mad at them, okay? Or maybe something happened to you that's even worse than that, and you got mad at somebody. Now, I'm going to talk today about somebody in the Bible who had every reason to be upset and mad and to be angry and to hold a grudge against somebody else. And this is somebody named Joseph. We talked about Joseph at VBS. Now, I'm going to tell you, before I read the scripture, I'm going to tell you what happened in Joseph's life. When Joseph was a kid, his father, his dad, liked him better than he liked all of his brothers. Joseph had 11 brothers. Any of you have 11 brothers? That's a busy family. So, and Joseph's dad liked him the best, and Joseph's brothers were so jealous and upset about it that they threw Joseph in a pit, in like a well that had dried up. They threw Joseph in the pit. Now, I want to ask you, has your brother or your sister ever thrown you in a pit? If they did, would you be mad about it? That's no fun, to be thrown in a pit and you can't get out. So they threw him in a pit. And then the next thing that happened to Joseph is they pulled Joseph out of the pit and sold him into slavery. They sold him to slave traders. Okay. So you can raise your hand if your brother or your sister has ever sold you into slavery. No, that's never happened. That's no fun. Maybe they wanted to, but I'm going to be surprised if they actually did it. It's no fun when you get sold into slavery, I've got to tell you. Just ask Joseph. And then what happened is Joseph was taken to a foreign country. He was taken to Egypt. Now, it's nice to go to visit a foreign country because you want to go. But if you have to go there and you can't leave and you're a slave there, it's no fun. New culture, new language, and you're a slave. You know, you're away from home, away from your family. And if you went home, you probably wouldn't want to go home anyway because your brothers hate you, and who knows what they would do to you then. So that was no fun for Joseph. He was probably pretty mad about that, or he could have been. Have you ever had to go to a foreign country and you couldn't leave. You were held in captivity in a foreign country. And have any of you ever have that happen? Or have any of you ever been a slave working for the bodyguard of the Pharaoh? That's what happened to Joseph. He was a slave in the captain of Pharaoh's bodyguard. Okay? And then this other thing happened, which I won't get into the details because they're a little bit lewd, where Joseph was accused of something that he didn't do. He was accused of committing a crime that he didn't commit, and then he went to prison. He was thrown into prison. Now, have any of you ever been to prison? Don't raise your hand. Maybe there are people here today who have been to prison. I don't want you to tell me, but it's no fun to be in prison. Joseph was thrown into the dungeon in Egypt, and he was had to be there for 2 years, at least. More than 2 years he was in prison. Now, that's a long time to be in prison, especially if you didn't commit the crime. It's no fun to be in prison. Now, how do you think Joseph felt? What do you think he thought about his brothers, like as he's hanging out in prison? Now, he was given a job in prison where he was put in charge of the other prisoners, but he couldn't leave. He couldn't leave the prison. And I'm sure he was thinking about just going back in time. If my brothers had never thrown me into the pit, if my brothers had never sold me into slavery and going up back over it, and if I were Joseph now, I would have been pretty mad. I would have been pretty mad at my brothers. I would have carried that grudge, and I would have thought to myself, if I ever see those brothers again, and if I ever have the chance, I would love to make them pay. Now, the next part of Joseph's story involves Pharaoh, the same Pharaoh that came to VBS, believe it or not, the king of Egypt. I heard he was here. I heard he walked like an Egyptian, and it was really funny. What ties? No, not me. Oh, man. Oh, so Pharaoh was having nightmares, and he was pretty scared about his nightmares, but Pharaoh had heard that Joseph could interpret dreams and tell people what dreams meant. So he called Joseph. He found out about Joseph, that Joseph could interpret dreams. He called Joseph into his palace and told Joseph his dreams. And with God's help, Joseph was able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams for him. And Joseph told the Pharaoh, here's what your dreams mean. For 7 years, there's going to be a time of feasting. There is going to be an abundant harvest. You're going to have plenty of food. And then after that, for 7 years, there's going to be a famine. There won't be enough food for the people in your country to eat. So what you ought to do is find somebody smart enough to gather food for the 7 good years so you have enough food to make it through the bad years. And then Pharaoh put Joseph in charge. He was second in command to the Pharaoh. He wore Pharaoh's fancy ring. He rode in a fancy chariot. He had a lot of people working for him. He was in charge of collecting food during the famine, or before the famine, and then when the famine happened, they had plenty of food. Joseph was out of prison. He was in this position of power, position of decision-making, authority, and he was able to save his country from the famine, and not just his country. People from the other countries around there who didn't have enough food would go to Egypt and buy food from Joseph so that they would have enough to eat. Now, guess who shows up in Joseph's palace trying to buy food after at some point during the famine, you know, in the middle of the 7 bad years. A group of guys walk into Joseph's palace to buy food, and Joseph recognized them. It was Joseph's brothers. Joseph's brothers were there. And now Joseph, he knew who they were. He recognized them, but they didn't know who he was because he looked different. He was wearing Egyptian clothes, fancy Egyptian clothes. He was speaking a fancy Egyptian language. He had servants. He had power. He was sitting on a fancy chair. He probably had a cool hat. And he was the guy that sold the food. They never would have expected that it would be the powerful man that they were buying food from would be Joseph. But it was. Now, if you were Joseph and you saw those brothers, what would you do to them? How would you treat them? Like, think of all the trouble those guys had put you through, that they made you suffer in slavery and then suffer in prison and all those years of being away from your country and not being able to do what you wanted to do, not being able to leave, not being able to go home. And now you're in a position where you can really make them pay if you wanted to. Okay, what would you do to them? Would you just let them starve? Would you throw them in jail? Would you take all their horses and camels or whatever animals they brought with them and make them walk home? You can walk home to Israel. Would you, like, do something worse to them? Shave their heads? I don't know. Be mean to them somehow? Or would you just plain ignore them? Let's find out what Joseph did to his brothers when he had the chance to get revenge on them. So this is Genesis chapter 45. I'll read the first, 15 verses. Here we go. Joseph could no longer keep his composure in front of all his attendants. So he called out, "Send everyone away from me." So he sent all his servants out of the room. No one was with him when he revealed his identity to his brothers. But he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and also Pharaoh's household heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But they could not answer him because they were terrified in his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near me." And they came near. "I am Joseph, your brother," he said, "the one you sold into Egypt. And now, don't be grieved or angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. For the famine has been in this land for 2 years, and there will be 5 more years without plowing or harvesting. God sent me ahead of you to establish you as a remnant within the land and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Return quickly to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me without delay. You can settle in the land of Goshen and be near me, you, your children, and your grandchildren, your flocks, your herds, and all you have. There I will sustain you, for there will be 5 more years of famine. Otherwise, you, your household, and everything you have will become destitute. Look, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin can see that I'm the one speaking to you. Tell my father about all my glory in Egypt and about all you have seen, and bring my father here quickly.' Then Joseph threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin wept on his shoulder. Joseph kissed each of his brothers as he wept, and afterwards his brothers talked with him." This is God's word. So what did Joseph do? When he had a chance to get revenge, what did Joseph do? Joseph forgave his brothers. Joseph forgave them. He offered them forgiveness. So what does it mean to forgive people who have hurt you? Let's look at what the scripture said about how Joseph forgave his brothers, and we can learn a lot from that. Here's what forgiveness does not mean. Forgiveness does not mean allowing someone to keep on hurting you. Forgiveness is not staying in an abusive relationship. That's not what forgiveness means. But here's what forgiveness does mean. Forgiveness means letting go of your anger. And instead of being angry towards the person who hurt you, having compassion on the person that hurt you. Did you see how Joseph cried? He had compassion on his brothers. Even though they had hurt him, he felt sorry for them, and he wanted to help them. He had love for them in his heart, an amazing kind of love, a forgiving kind of love. Joseph loved his brothers. He had compassion on them. Forgiveness is also, here's another aspect of forgiveness. Forgiveness means not taking revenge, okay? When somebody hurts us, what we want to do is get back at them to take revenge on them. But Joseph did not take revenge on them. Joseph left revenge to God. Like, if God wants to punish them for their sins, God can handle that. But Joseph is not the person that will do that. Joseph is not going to take revenge. So that's what part of what forgiveness is, not taking revenge, okay? Another aspect of forgiveness is understanding that God has a plan. So now, what they did was wrong. What the brothers did was wrong. They're still responsible for before God for what they did. But Joseph was able to see that in spite of what they did and the wrong things that they did, that God was able to use it and make good things come out of it. That God was able to bring Joseph to that country and put him in a position of power so that he could save his brothers and save everybody around there, save the whole country and the countries around there from starvation. God was using the bad that the brothers committed for good. Now, that doesn't mean that God caused them to do something evil. It doesn't mean that those brothers aren't responsible for the wrong things they did. But it means that God is able to work through it, and God still has a plan. God is still in control. He's sovereign. And so part of forgiveness is understanding how God is over all things, and God can work in spite of the wrong things that are happening. God is still in control. He still has a plan, and his plan is still good. So that's part of forgiveness. And the last part of forgiveness that I want you to understand here from the life of Joseph is that forgiveness opens the door to reconciliation. So they had been distant from each other. They had been separated. And you could imagine a situation where Joseph would say, "You've come here, but I'm not going to let you get near me. You need to just turn around and go back home. I'm not going to have a relationship with you anymore." But forgiveness, what Joseph did, forgiveness opens the door to reconciliation. Now, there are times when you want to forgive someone and you open the door to reconciliation and they don't walk through the door. They don't want to reconcile. But that's not your call. You know, that's not up to you. What your role is in forgiveness is to open the door for reconciliation. Okay. So Joseph opened the door for reconciliation. He embraced his brothers. He hugged them. He kissed them. He cried on their shoulder. He gave them, in another section in the scripture, we see he gave them good gifts. He invited them to come back and live in his country, and he took care of them. Joseph opened the door up to reconciliation. And if we have the chance, now, like I said, forgiveness doesn't mean allowing yourself to stay in an abusive relationship. But if the person has changed and is willing to reconcile and to be friends again, forgiveness is opening up the door to reconciliation, and we can offer that kind of forgiveness to the people that have hurt us. Now, when I think of Joseph and how he forgave his brothers, I can't help but think of Jesus and how he forgave us. Just like Joseph forgave his brothers, or even in a greater way than Joseph forgave his brothers, Jesus forgave us for our sins. Jesus is a lot like Joseph. Jesus also left his father's house. You know, Joseph was forced to leave his father's home and live in another country. Jesus left heaven, left his father's throne, and came to earth and lived among us. He left his father's house. He came to earth. He became a person. The very Son of God, the eternal Son of God, became a person and lived with us. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. And Jesus was also betrayed by his brothers and sisters. How was Jesus betrayed by his brothers and sisters? I'm not just talking about how Judas, his disciple, betrayed him, and I'm not just talking about how when Jesus was arrested, his friends, his disciples, ran away, left him in his weakest moment. I'm also talking about how you and I have sinned against God. And when we sin against God, we betray Jesus. Do you know what sin means? Sin is whenever you think, say, or do something that breaks God's rules or makes him sad. Anything that disobeys God. What you think, what you say, what you do that breaks God's laws, breaks God's rules, or makes him sad. And every single one of us has done that in some way. Have you ever disobeyed your mom and dad? Have you ever said an unkind word to your brother or sister? Have you ever cheated on something? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever hurt somebody? Like, all of us have sinned against God, and all of us deserve to be far away from God. We deserve to be punished in hell, separated from God forever and ever. But Jesus was, just like Joseph was put in a position of power, Oh, I skipped the most important step. Just like Joseph suffered terribly, Jesus suffered terribly. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, died in our place, took the punishment that we deserve. He died on the cross for our sins, and God raised him from the dead. And just like Joseph was placed in a position of power so that he could save his brothers and sisters, God put Jesus in a position of power. He raised him from the dead and put him at the right hand of, on the throne of God. And Jesus offers salvation and forgiveness to anyone who will receive it, anyone who will believe in him, anyone who will trust in Jesus. This is good news. All of us have sinned against God. All of us have disobeyed him. We deserve to be separated from God forever, but Jesus died in our place and rose again, taking the penalty for our sins, and he offers forgiveness to us. He offers us eternal life. He offers us reconciliation to God. So if you're here today and you didn't know this before, or you haven't received it for yourself, for you, you can do that today. You can trust in Jesus and receive forgiveness of your sins. And I just want to invite you to do that. You can just pray right where you're sitting. Pray in your heart to God and say, God, I'm sorry for my sins, and I trust in Jesus, and I want your forgiveness. You can do that right where you're sitting, and I pray that you would do that today. If you haven't done that, I want to encourage you to do that today. You can pray a prayer like this. You just say to God, God, I've disobeyed you. I'm a sinner, but I know your son Jesus died for me and rose again, and I want to trust in him. I trust in him and receive your forgiveness and your eternal life. And if you're here today and you have already received that forgiveness from Jesus, here's something for you to do today. When somebody does you wrong, and somebody has already done you wrong in your life at some point, we need to do like Joseph, and instead of holding on to the grudge, we need to let it go. We need to forgive. Just like Joseph forgave his brothers, we need to forgive the person that hurt us. So don't take revenge on them. Leave the revenge to God, and instead open up the door to reconciliation, to being close again. It's not up to you whether they come through that door, but you can offer it. We can forgive us because God has forgiven us. If you know that God has forgiven your sins, he's offered you an immeasurable forgiveness, you can turn around and offer forgiveness to the people that have hurt you. And I pray that we would all be able to do that today. Let me pray for you. Dear God, I want to thank you for this message. Thank you for the good news of your forgiveness that you give us to anyone who will trust in your son. And I pray that we would know it, that we'd understand it. I pray that there would be some here today who would believe that for the first time. And I also pray that you would help us to forgive the people that have hurt us. Help us to turn around and offer the same forgiveness that you've given us. Help us to give that forgiveness to the people around us. And we ask you for your help in that. And I want to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have any questions or if you want to talk about that, I would love to talk to you about anything after the service. I'll be hanging around. And the next thing we'll do is stand and sing another song. So let's stand and